This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, we have to keep that voice. That is an amazing voice. I want to ask you people from Australia. I come from Brooklyn, New York. You know what I mean? We come from Brooklyn, New York. I wonder here where you got that magnificent accent. I mean, it's kind of sort of related to the British accent, but it's not really.
It's a offshoot of the British accent. It really is. I have watched a show on accents, and you know, and I'm fascinated by accents. They are amazing. And environment has a lot to do with accents. Over in merry old England, where it's a fairly cold environment, people can actually open their mouths when they speak. But here in Australia, you've got to keep your mouth closed because of the flies, right? So the Australian voice is a lot flatter, and we don't have those lilting tones that you get in the English accents. Because Australia is a hot, dry, dusty, fly-ridden place, our accent has developed out of some of those physical conditions that we have in our country down here. And so, I mean, I'm being very general in those statements, but there is truth to that thing that when you've got a hot environment, you've got a relatively dusty environment in places. And interestingly, in Australia, the accent is pretty much the same across the entire country. There's little regional variances in Queensland and Western Australia. They got some little local stuff going on there. But overall, Australians all sound the same. Whereas in England, you can travel from one village to another 3 miles away and have a completely different accent. Our accent is very much, a product of our physical location down here. You know, and obviously having an English, Irish, French, German, European settlement background, that's all sprung out of that. Whereas the American accent tends to be kind of a bit more closely related to the Irish accent, I think.
That's all really quite fascinating. I had no idea that that's how an accent developed down there.
Yeah. One question here. You said the American accent. There are a number of different American accents, depending on where
there are.
You come from. There is a relationship to the Irish accent. How so, yes, my lad?
Well, I think the Irish accent is sort of like, it kind of has that R sound, and I think the Americans really, really have that R sound as well when they talk, you know. And of course, there's regional variances across America as well, you know, like in the South, the accents are, well, they tend to speak a lot slower in the South. That's what I noticed when I was in Louisiana, you know, all those years ago, you know, whereas Australians talk very fast, you know, like we do talk fast.
We noticed that, yes. Let's talk a little bit slower now. I was quite fascinated by the case from 1980 there with where you were talking about farm animals being disturbed by a flying disc. And that seems to be a fairly common phenomenon with animals. Animals seem to be very sensitive to these things. I also found it really interesting how it hovered over this water tank.
Yeah.
And that the water was drained out of it, and that when they went and looked in, if I'm remembering this right, the silt was all swirled into a point in the middle.
Yes, that's true. And that was not the only case of water-sucking UFOs in that area. That there had been a number of cases of UFOs draining tanks, billabongs, water, bodies of water. They had been there draining water. So it has been an occurrence in that specific area. In fact, here's a little funny little note for you. Where that farm is, and I know exactly where that farm is, the original tank's gone, but they've put a plastic tank in its place in the exact same location. It's not even 100 metres from the highway, right? So the National Highway drives past it, and a truck driver was driving past at the time, an IPEC truck driver was driving past, and he saw the object as well. And the daughter of the people at the general store just down the road, she saw the object. So there were three witnesses to that. It was a really great case, and it had everything from animal involvement to physical trace cases to environmental effects, to witness effects. It's just a beautiful case. It's got everything. And it was the favorite case of Paul Norman, who was the president of the Victorian UFO Research Society. That was one of his all-time favorite cases, was the water tank case, because it really is such a beauty. You know, like it's got everything in it, you know, and highly credible witness, trace effects. It was a classic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're talking about a CE5, technically, if you go with the old Hynek Valley classification, because you've got a close encounter that includes positive or negative physical changes to the witness. In this case, the witness was hit by some kind of a pulse. Now, was it a light pulse, or just what sort of pulse was this exactly?
I think you tend to find they tend to be more like that bass amplification pulse, you know, like, you know, when you're standing at your gig and you get that bassing type pulse. And Kelly Cale had the same type of thing occur to her as well, when this invisible force field comes across the field and it knocks her off her feet. You know, that's
a sonic pulse of some kind.
Yeah, like a sonic pulse. That's what I'm sort of thinking. Like a sonic pulse comes out and the witness is hit. It's almost like a disabling type of a defense mechanism or something, you know, that these objects can do to disorient their, I won't say the word prey, but, you know, to disorientate whoever they're about to have some level of interaction with. And the interesting thing about that case and the one from 1963 with the dairy farmers, in both cases, this is back to animals, the stock in both cases were out of sorts for at least a week after the event. The animals were very hard to work with, very hard to herd up, very hard to move past certain areas because, you know, the animals were affected not just at the time. They were affected for days after those events had actually occurred.
Well, animals are very sensitive to sound, and they can hear frequencies that we can't. At least some animals can. So, maybe it was a case where that is what was going on. Animals get frightened of sound very easily. Yeah, and they're affected by it. You know, maybe these things are giving off some sort of ultrasonic frequency or something.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, look what happens when a helicopter flies over animals. You know, they generally go berserk when a helicopter's anywhere nearby. Horses, cows, they all go running when a helicopter flies over. So, and that's just an ordinary pedestrian helicopter, you know, let alone, you know, something that's really, really interesting and high performance, you know. If its operating mechanisms are using forces that we obviously, you know, we're not aware of, the animals would have that perceptibility or that irritability by whatever it is that could be propelling those crafts as well. There could be sounds associated that we can't hear, because dogs go crazy whenever there's UFOs around. So dogs might be hearing things that we can't hear, you know, cows.
Wait, is that why my dog always goes crazy? He's seeing UFOs. Thank you for telling me.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, we hear about dogs actually being used because they have a sensitivity to the buildup of geological forces to predict earthquakes is sort of their thinking. And they're not really sure how they do it, whether they hear some sort of subsonic frequencies or sense it because they've got, you know, four paws on the ground. And somehow they can tell that it's just not right, and it makes them nervous. And so when you've got things like helicopters, you've got that subsonic frequency again, and then there's the electromagnetic frequencies that go along with things like earthquakes. So maybe the same thing with UFOs. We hear things about UFOs causing compasses to spin and that sort of thing. So maybe it's a combination of all of that.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, all these cases that I machine gunned at you guys, you know, 20 minutes ago, they're all displaying these incredible things. And the interesting thing about Dargo, right, which is this little town, it's got one pub, one store, that's it. You know, it's very small. We went up there to chase this UFO case, and I'm up there talking to locals. Then, like next minute, they're coming out with these other stuff, and you go, well, that's nearly as good as what I've come up here to investigate. I was standing there talking to a lady, and she says, oh, yeah, my husband was driving home one night. My husband and son were driving home one night, you know, along the same road. Yeah, this object came down and hovered above the car. It picked it up off the ground. He's on this trying to move the steering wheel, and the steering wheel's just not doing anything. And then next minute, it drops it down, and they drive on, and they came home. You know, it's like, that's an incredible story. It's not one that I was going up there to investigate. And one night, she was home alone. There was this swirling light that came around the house, this big swirling wind whooshing sound and these lights that were rotating around. outside that was all these bright lights were flashing and there was this wind blowing around. And she says, all I did was I put my bed cover over my head until it went away.
More to come with Gene Randall, the Ben Grimm.
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, when we talk about rabbits and things, we kind of think in the UFO field, aren't we talking a little bit here about kind of an Alice in Wonderland concept? Because things somehow seem to be sometimes or quite often less than logical. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. Actually, speaking of rabbit, do you know how the abduction people say they talk about screen memories and such?
Yes.
When I was a young child back in 1965, it's got all the classic features of something like that. When I was in this field, I was going through as part of this whole larger experience, but as I was walking away from this experience, I was going through this tall grass. It was as tall as I was. As I was parting the grass, all of a sudden I came upon this rabbit, and it was as tall as I was. And rabbits aren't that tall. I mean, some of them can get big, but not, you know, 3-4 feet high kind of thing. And it looked at me, and it had those big dark eyes. And I swear to this day that it said hello to me, like as plain as day. So, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, I still can see this thing plain as day in my mind. With, you know, and children do have these odd experiences too. I mean, I think they're often just written off as, you know, childhood imaginations or fantasies or something, but so they're not believed, but they happen.
Yeah, I've got an Australian version of that story.
Oh, awesome.
One day, me and my father were, because I've always been living in the country, and one day, me and my father, I was quite young, I would have probably been about six. We were walking through sort of like a tea tree brush sort of an area out in the bush, and we came into this clearing, and in the clearing was this male kangaroo, and he was as tall as a man. He was big, like he was a six-footer. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there, just sitting there calmly at full height. So he rises up to full height. So he's full height. Dad and I stop, and he looks at us with his dark, little dark eyes, and then he just turns around and casually hops away. And it was just like one of those, you had to be there sort of moment, you know, like, you know, this 6-foot-tall kangaroo. I mean, they can rip you to pieces. They really can with their feet. They can totally tear your intestines out. And you know, and here's my dad with his 6-year-old son. We just literally come into this clearing, and you know, and there's probably about, you know, 2 to 3 meters between us and it.
Wow,
and it's quite close. And it just casually turns around and off it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I said hello to it.
It still would be an interesting experience. I mean, if wild animals, you don't want to underestimate them because they can seem so unassuming, but you don't want to get it on their bad side. You know, I mean, even here in Canada, we have these, you know, deer that wander around and people, oh, look at the cute deer. But every once in a while, someone gets too close and they'll rear up on their hind legs and trample you. And
yes.
They can be quite formidable. You know, they weigh a lot. You don't want to get them on.
You don't want to aggravate them
and have them attacking you.
Well, I had an experience with the deer too. I was walking through, me and my dog were walking through the bush, and all of a sudden this thing just from nowhere just snorts at us. This absolute monster snort comes from nowhere, and both me and my dog instantly turned and took off in the opposite direction.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah. So it was a. I didn't see what it was, but I'm assuming it was a buck deer. It was early in the morning, like, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and this thing just snorts at me. So that was unbelievable.
Getting back to some of the UFO cases, and of course we could go back in detail a couple of the ones that you brought up in the list there, but I wanted to ask you about some of the native sightings there. I mean, apparently there's the Warlpiri.
Yes.
Have I got that right? Yes. Yeah. They have a long tradition of strange occurrences that we would probably think of as UFO sightings and that go on to this day, is from what I'm understanding in a couple of articles I've read.
Yeah, that's true. There's a strong Aboriginal connection to the UFO phenomenon. And I have been out to the inland, or I didn't actually go inland. I went up near Darwin, and I went to Arnhem Land. Arnhem Land is an Aboriginal territory. You just can't go wandering in there. It's an actual Aboriginal territory. And when you go there, they've got this rich, rich tapestry of rock art that they do up there, and it's kind of encapsulates a lot of their myths and their legends, and there's a lot of imagery within that that when you look at it, it's so hard not to place a modern interpretation on it, and you can see what would look like astronauts or even alien heads in their artwork. In Bill Chalker's book, The Oz Files, he does a chapter on the Aboriginal story, and I was just running around trying to find it. And there's a lot of cases there where one I can remember from the book is a UFO lands amongst a group of Aboriginals, and the occupants get out, and there's an interaction between the Aboriginals and the occupants from the craft. So, yeah, there's definitely has been a paranormal UFO activity here for a very long time.
What's your impression of all of this then? I mean, we can get into the mythology, biblical mythology. It seems to go back thousands of years. It doesn't matter which continent that you go to. There's mythology with the Hopis in the U.S. There's some of the First Nations in Canada. It seems like no matter where you go, they've taken an interest in people. I mean, are we just part of the wildlife? Or,
yes. Well, look, I mean, yeah, maybe we are part of the wildlife. Maybe they're, if you talk about, abduction and farming of human genetics, then, maybe they're collecting genes from all around the world. Maybe they've got Aboriginal genes, they've got the Hopi Indian genes, they've got, South American Indian genes and everybody else around the planet as well. So yeah, but there's that aspect of it. Do we have something that they need?
Are there any MIB in Australia?
Not really. Haven't had that type of experience here. I don't really think that's part of our UFO experience.
On the other hand, there's a book called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. Of course, when we talk about Gray Barker's book, people always focus on the case of Albert Bender and his encounter with the three men in black. But the title of the book included the word, they knew too much about flying saucers, not he knew too much about flying saucers. And probably it was the first and last serious thing that Gray Barker ever wrote. So if you can find yourself a copy online, it's a good historical background, definitely. We got more to go with Gene, Randall, Ben. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says there are enough testing supplies to begin the first phase of reopening communities that are closed from the coronavirus pandemic.
Every day we're getting closer to the future that we all have been waiting for. I talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. We are getting very, very close to seeing that light.
But many governors are complaining they can't get enough tests done in time, and they don't have enough test kits yet. Though in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott says he's ready to start reopening.
We can adopt safe strategies that prevent the spread of COVID-19. And step by step, we will open Texas.
Stocks rallied around the world on Friday. The Dow was up 704 points. The Nasdaq up 117. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Ben, you're too young probably to even remember that book, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers.
Oh, no, I have heard of it. I don't think I've read it, but I think I actually have got it in my UFO library, but I don't think I've actually read it yet.
I read the book like 1,000 years ago.
Yeah,
Involving coverage in Australia where Barker mentioned a man in black thing. I'll look it up as you guys continue.
Yeah, I'm talking about, it's like my experiences and, in the cases that I've looked at. Well, I haven't seen much evidence of a strong MIB presence here. Not saying that it's not or that it doesn't have the potential to be here. Within all our big cases, there has not been that element.
I'd just like to back up a little bit here, too, because we just had the strangest thing happen. We were talking about the MIB, and you were saying, well, it might be the case that our phones are tapped or somebody's listening. And I said, they're listening right now. And then Gene completely dropped off the connection, and we couldn't hear him. And he has no idea why that happened. And we have to completely reestablish our connection. And Gene, you didn't even know that happened until now because you didn't hear that part.
Right. And the thing is here, when I looked at the various indicators that I'm being heard, they were working in Skype. I could see the reflection of the fact that there was a signal coming from my end in my recording software, but none of you heard it. So it was like, I'm about to scream at everybody, why can't you hear me? But I realized it was Skype having its revenge.
Or there's somebody messing with us. That's,
Yes.
I don't know. Is that just synchronicity or coincidence or what? That was awesome. Where do we want to pick up from here now? We've got another couple of segments left.
Well, I wouldn't mind just recapping briefly on one of the other cases because it's going to be my next cold case for investigation.
Let's do that.
And it really is a great case. I love giving you guys stuff that you probably haven't heard about. it's good for everybody to hear these cases. And I'm trying to find this gentleman, and I haven't found him yet, but there's enough of his name out there to make it a big job ringing through the phone book to try and track him down. Going back to the August 24 case in 1967, and the gentleman's name was Ron Hydes, H-Y-D-E-S, and he was riding his motorcycle from Melbourne to Sydney. So August over here is winter, and that's the dead heart of winter for us, August, 5 p.m. It's getting pretty dark at that time. You know, the sun is well and truly getting down below the horizon. And so he was on his motorcycle when he was blinded by a brilliant light coming from overhead. And he stopped his motorbike, dismounted, and wiped his eyes. And he saw a typical saucer-shaped vehicle hovering 3 to 4 feet above the ground and about 100 feet to the left of the road. The saucer was silvery on the top and showed a cupola or a raised section and was darker underneath. And he also spotted two humanoids approaching him, about 5 feet tall and dressed in shiny metallic covered coveralls and dark transparent helmets. Now, Ron panicked, jumped on his bike and took off down the highway at full throttle. And making about 100 miles an hour, the UFO was soon after him. Ron realized this when he heard it hum as it passed over his head at an altitude of 100 to 200 feet, and then preceded him down the highway a couple of hundred feet in front. He was very unhappy about this, and he slowed down, and the saucer slowed down as well, and they both came to a stop. And in a moment or two, the saucer tilted its base down towards him, and then it shot off on a flight path at about 45 degrees with the horizon. Now, if that's not a classic Twilight Zone, amazing stories sort of a case, I don't know what is. And my aim is to try and track him down so I can get that story. I actually have got his original case report that he gave to the Victorian UFO Research Society. I have got some of their old files, and I have his actual pro forma that he filled out with his actual illustration. I'm very, very keen to try and bring this case back up again because, I mean, come on, humanoids.
Oh, definitely.
They're shiny metallic covered coveralls. Hello, I want to know more. So that's the next one that I'm going to take off in terms of, you know, let's try and look into this. Let's see what we can find out about this case. It's old. I'm hoping he's still alive, that I get to talk to the guy.
Well, that would be, a classic CE4.
Ah, 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, So these are the cream of the crop type cases.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, and they're not high profile cases. And what always happens to these cases is they disappear. They get forgotten. They just go. And then, and I think, no, we've got to preserve this stuff. We've got to have the facts. We've got to talk to the first-hand witnesses while they're still here. You know, we've got to go to the location, take some photos. Even all these years later, you've got to get out there and you've got to bring these old cases back from the dead and preserve them for the future. You know, and then you'll see that there's other cases around that have occurred around the world that might be similar. So if we've got good records, and that's the thing, what I don't like about ufology in general, is that it's all in the hands of individuals, a lot of this stuff, and we've all got our little private collections. And sharing stuff is kind of, you know, it just doesn't happen perhaps as much as it should.
Well, it does happen in the books and that people have written about the subject. So we've got, you know, quite a few cases out there that are really good cases that people talk about in the classic UFO publications.
Oh, yes. No, we have. Yeah. Of course, we've got that with, yeah, there's obviously a lot of literature out there for people to read. And, you know, if you Google Ron Hydes, you'll find information on him. Like there is information out there. You won't find an interview with him. You won't find a documentary about that case. You won't find the location where that happened, you know, and that's the stuff I'm sort of talking about.
I don't disagree at all. I didn't mean to sort of be contradictory in terms of the value of what you're saying. I completely agree that ufology's archiving of these cases is important because if we don't do it, who is going to? And For people who are the non-believers or the people who just haven't thought about it much or think that, oh, it's, you know, some sort of thing for people who are a little bit out on the edge. And like you were saying about the experience with your sister's recent experience, this is something now that has probably completely changed her attitude about the subject, I would imagine.
Ah, and it did a flip, yes.
Yes, and so when that happens to people, it changes a person's worldview. Us, we're inside the ketchup bottle, so we get used to the idea that alien visitation is something that is real. We accept it as part of what's happening in the world. To the point where I can't imagine what somebody's worldview must be like who doesn't believe it, who doesn't even, or let alone doesn't even understand it, that thinks that the world just goes on with people doing their daily things in the world, driving their cars, going back and forth to work. There's no other civilizations beyond Earth that are involved in our existence. And I know there's people like that. There's a lot of them, but it's really hard for me to put myself into that mind space. If I try to imagine it, all I can do is I know it's out there. I know that that's possible. But when compare the difference, it is such a startling contrast in terms of how we see ourselves in the world and our place in the universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My sister is that classic person, you know, like that was her, you know, like would think beyond nothing above what she sees, feels and touches herself. And, you know, within the realms of the world wouldn't give any thought to that sort of thing. So she's done that, you know, complete flip in the space of an hour and a half.
Wow.
That hour and a half made her go, cause she says, oh, I believe now. I believe, you know, she's like saying, I believe. It's almost like a hallelujah moment, you know, like,
I believe we're going to have another segment with our friend Ben Hurl from the other side of the world. We got more to come with Gene Randall and Ben. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, rockoids.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR PCR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Mortgage rates have dropped 25%, the lowest mortgage rates in years. So maybe you should drop everything and call Zoom Refi. Refinance your home now and slash your mortgage payments. Take cash out and save maybe hundreds of dollars every month. Zoom Refi mortgage rates are super low. Zoom Refi closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi. Refi today. 888-291-9729. 888-291-9729. Save on mortgage payments. Save on closing costs. Call Zoom Refi. 888-291-9729. Advertising by marketing entity Zoom Refi. Zoom Refi is not a bank or financial company. Calls and other inquiries may be forwarded to third-party lenders who are solely responsible for reviewing, approving, and servicing any loan. Zoom Refi is not affiliated with any state or federal agency and does not provide mortgage advice or help. No income check loans are for investment properties only, and income must be sufficient to service debt.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
A very quick question before we go on with our final little segment of our visit with Ben Hurl. Now, I want to remind listeners also that he was present at last week's episode of After the Paracast. And if you want to sign up and subscribe to the Paracast Plus to get that show and the version of this show free of the network ads, go to the Paracast.plus. Okay, Ben Hurl, we're going to be wrapping it up soon. Time just flies when you're having fun, and this was fun. A lot of enjoyable information there. What's your day job anyway?
Okay. Well, my day job is completely unrelated to the UFO field in 100%. I have always worked in sales. So I currently am a sales manager for a RV company, and I sell recreational vehicles is my daytime job.
That's cool. There's a lot of people that, you know, they don't relate to sales, but I've done it in the past in retail and in my own just private business. And I really love it. You get to interact with people. And if you like people, sales is cool. It's really a great job. If you've got a good boss, like any other job, I suppose.
Yeah, I do. I have very good bosses, and I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that's cool. Just before the break there, we were talking about how having a UFO experience really changes a person's worldview. And I feel as though, and I don't know if you can confirm this or not, but that people who have had a genuine UFO experience, they're like part of a larger family. I feel connected to them in a way, even though I may not really know them, because I know that they're out there, that there's this segment of society that absolutely knows for sure that alien visitation is a reality. And then there's the rest of the world. You know what I'm getting at there?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I really noticed that, what you're talking about, when we came to America last year. So we came over in September and we went to the International UFO Congress in Phoenix. And I noticed that once we got into the conference, you're there with all those like-minded people. You're there with everybody who, even if we're not entirely on the same page about the who, where, why, fors, and that sort of stuff, we all at least can go, there's something else out there beyond ourselves. And here we are from the other side of the world, thousands of miles away, and we come all the way over to the United States, and we feel at home because with the like-minded people.
To me, this particular phenomenon that we're talking about right now makes me think that maybe this has something to do with their agenda, if they have one. Because if the aliens don't give us any scientifically valid material evidence to prove that they exist, and yet we know, like the people who know, because they're firsthand witnesses, they've seen it with their own eyes, and they've got enough experience in the world to know that they're looking at something truly extraordinary or out of this world. It's not just some vague light off in the distance that might be a star or a planet or an airplane or something and then goes away. They've seen it well enough to know.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's this group of people, and yet we don't know for sure which one of those people is actually telling the truth. We know that there has to be other people out there, because we can't be the only ones in the world that are having this experience, because that would be just, you know, way too self-absorbed.
Yeah.
So there's this challenge. It's almost like they're trying to create some sort of situation where all of us who know have to figure out how it is that we can relate to each other without the proof somehow.
Yeah, I mean, what I see all the time with...
It's like a social experiment.
It is. And I've seen so many people, witnesses, yes, but also other people who come to conferences, who come to your events and stuff, and you can see that they're on a quest. You can see that there's a quest that people are undertaking for themselves. That quest is you know, trying to find out what is happening, what is going on. And people are really sort of, and I think that is happening on a increasing level all the time. So, you know, a UFO meeting back in the 1950s, you know, they could still get 150 people to a UFO meeting back in the 1950s. But I think that as we've gone over the, you know, the last 50, 60 years or so, that the quests are getting further than that. I think that the, you know, I'll use the word awakening, that people are kind of going, yes, you know, we know that this is, there's more to this world. We know that there's more to reality. You know, the old religious modes of the world don't ring true for a lot of people anymore, and haven't for a long time. So people do look outside to say, you know, there perhaps is other things out there. And then you've got this kind of ET sort of, you know, is humanity hoping that ET is going to do something for us? Is ET going to do something for us? Does ET care about us? You know, these are the questions that I think more and more people are taking a serious look at around the world.
Well, it does draw us together in this common sort of, when you use the word quest, to figure it out, because we know that there's something more going on than what is happening in our mundane everyday lives. And sure, a psychologist might say, oh, well, we're just conjuring it up because we're so bored with our everyday mundane lives. I don't think this is the case at all. I think there really is something going on that is far beyond our everyday mundane lives and that deserves to be investigated. And that's what it seems to want to do. It seems to want to draw us out to investigate it and for us as a group who know to find a way to unify and come together in this sort of common cause, right? Am I making any sense at all?
No, you are. But there's also the antagonist to that as well. Like, if there's this reaching out to humanity, there's this suppression as well. There's a suppression agenda, isn't there? You know, like... If ET is saying, yes, I'm trying to broaden your minds, I'm trying to bring you up to become part of some greater galactic, be it still Star Trek, Ian News Federation, you know, and you guys just aren't getting there, there is a suppression agenda. Let's keep them down. Let's not inform them.
There's so much more we could talk about.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have you back in the very near future to continue this conversation. It's only just started here, of course, on... After the PowerCast ban. Tell our listeners, if they're just tuning in or have been listening, where can they find more of what you do?
Yeah, sure. If people want to connect with what I've been doing, You can go onto YouTube and look at our YouTube channel, which is Bufoa TV, which is B-U-F-O-A TV. My Australian accent doesn't make that too hard to understand. So Bufoa TV is where all our videos are, and I encourage people to have a look at those because there's a lot of good content in those videos. They can go onto our website as well, www.vufoa.com. And we have another one too, .net also, so they can check out that. That's probably the best place. And also on Facebook. We're on Facebook as well.
We're on Facebook too, by the way, if you check for the PowerCast on Facebook. Also, we're on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. We have a special place where you can get branded merchandise, T-shirts, everything else for the PowerCast. If you go to the PowerCast.shop, that's the PowerCast.shop. And you can get last week's episode of After the PowerCast with our special guest, Ben Hurl. And, of course, you can get the ad-free version of this show. If you join the PowerCast Plus, for more information, go to the PowerCast.plus. Once again, the PowerCast.plus, don't you love all these wacky domain names that they can charge twice as much for? We have one called the PowerCast.rocks, by the way. Don't indicate all the possibilities of that, because we do rock. And so do you, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the PowerCast.
No, thank you, guys. I enjoyed it. Cheers.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.